greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on disasters, natural and man-made, when we come back. You know, here's an interesting statement. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." You'll find that recorded in Acts 5, verse 29. You know, that's a revolutionary concept, isn't it? And it's impossible to put into practice unless you personally know the law yourself. Can you imagine yourself actually telling a policeman or a judge that the law of God supersedes the law of the state of Florida or California or the United States or Germany? Now, there are actually three laws that support Peter's position in Acts 5, verse 29. Here in the United States, the First Amendment to our federal constitution is number one. Public Law 97-280 is the second, and our Supreme Court sums it up in a case called Seeger versus United States. That's the third. Now, do you know the scriptural law to cite in support of your position on, say, the census, or public school, or social security, vaccinations, or the many other laws of the scripture that conflict with the laws of the civil state? Do you know how to look them up? Do you know how to research them out? Do you know how to code plead the law to use the scripture to defend yourself against state and federal incursions into your constitutionally protected rights? Because if you don't know the law of the scripture and you don't know the law of the state, then you're in absolutely no position whatsoever to challenge either one. Now, if you're tired of being a biblical illiterate with the police and public officials kicking sand in your face, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? Now, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home education if you're online. You can go to the website georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine when you get there and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about natural disasters, and we took up the subject matter of global warming. It's probably true that global warming is creating an atmosphere or a series of events that will transpire at some point in the future that is going to cause great loss of life and great disaster. All the people that are in the know are predicting that and are telling us that the solution to global warming is for us to subscribe to our governments, and our governments will subscribe to the Kyoto Treaty, which is being foisted on us by the United Nations, and that will solve the problem. I say balderdash. Balderdash. And if you believe that government is going to save you from global warming, I've got a watch to sell and a bridge for you. Now, earthquakes are a big topic. Big topic. We just saw a big earthquake over here in northern Pakistan. We forget about earthquakes. There have been 160 big earthquakes between 1556 and last month. 160 major earthquakes, big ones, that have killed millions of people, not just a few thousand, I mean millions of people, over the last 450 years. And these earthquakes are becoming more frequent, and they're becoming more violent as time passes. And we have a 450-year period of time that we can identify the date and the magnitude of the earthquake. And if you want to know how they do that, they go to where this earthquake occurred, and they take a look at the damage that it did 100, 200, 300, 500 years ago, and they say, wow. And you can do that. There was a big earthquake up in Seattle, Washington, from Northern California up to Vancouver Island. It ranked 9 on the Richter scale. There have been 5 size 9 or Richter scale 9 or magnitude 9 earthquakes in 450 years. There's only been 5. Been quite a few 8s, quite a few 7s, quite a few 6s. And of course, then we have littler ones. Typically, when they get below 5, they don't kill people and they don't knock down very many buildings. When they get to be 6 or more, they start to become more destructive. 7's pretty bad. 8's getting right up there to bad. The one that just killed 300,000 people over in Indonesia and the Indian Ocean was a 9 magnitude earthquake on the Richter scale, a little over 9. Now, there's quite a little story about these natural disasters, so let's take a look. Natural disasters are happening more often, and they're having an even more dramatic impact on the world in terms of both their human and economic costs. While the number of lives lost has declined over the past 20 years, 800,000 people died from natural disasters in the 1990s, compared with 2 million in the 1970s. Now, the number of people affected has risen. Over the past decade, the total affected by natural disasters has tripled to 2 billion. That's B, as in boy, billion. Now, that's one-third of the people on the planet. Let me read that to you again. Because, you know, that's every 30 years you're going to be affected. Now, that's a 10-year period. It says, over the past decade, that's 1995 to 2005, the total number of people affected by natural disasters had tripled to 2 billion. So over the past 10 years, 2 billion people, one person out of every 3 drawing breath on planet Earth, has been affected by a natural disaster. Now, there's some man-made disasters, like the war in Iraq, or like this Al-Qaeda terrorism. You know, you're a victim of a disaster. If you're riding on the subway in London and a bomb goes off and kills you, you're the victim of a disaster, a man-made political disaster. And we're real concerned about 50 people being killed in the subways of London. We're less concerned about 70,000 people being killed in Pakistan. We're even less concerned about 300,000 people being killed by a tidal wave over in the Indian Ocean. Because the bigger the disaster, the more people that are killed, the more devastation that we witness, the more it is simply a statistic. It boggles your mind. You can't handle it. When my Aunt Bessie died, it was a tragedy. I don't have any particular feelings. I haven't shed any tears over 70,000 people dying in northern Pakistan, but by God, I cried a lot of tears over my Aunt Bessie. Just one old lady. She was already 87 years old. She'd lived a full life. Boy, was I sad when Aunt Bessie died. Which just goes to show you that Joe Stalin hit the nail on the head when he said, when one person dies, it's a tragedy. But when 100,000 dies, it's just a statistic. But being one of those 100,000 that dies makes you a tragedy. And these natural disasters are occurring more frequently. It's not better reporting, although we do have better reporting today. I don't deny that. I would say that reporting today is much better. I can get on the web. I can get these statistics. I can get these facts and figures. I just go into the computer room and I put a request on the desk, and in an hour or two, I've got stacks of paper on my desk that give me these numbers. Boy, you talk about good reporting. I can remember, 25 years ago, I'd have to go down to the library. I would have to get books and books out, and we'd have to get numbers and lots of people involved and to get these. And it just takes one guy punching a few keys, and you can get printed material right in front of you. Now, according to the United Nations Bureau for Crisis Prevention and Recovery, 75% of the world's population live in areas that have been affected at least once by either an earthquake, a tropical cyclone, flooding, or drought between 1980 and 2000. Did you hear that, boys and girls? 75% of the world's population, that's 4 billion people, have lived in areas covered by these events over the past 25 years. The tsunami of December 2004 has come at a time when the world is ready for a new look and a new focus for disaster reduction. We can no longer do business as usual. Peter Walker, he's the director of the Feinstein International Famine Center at Tufts University, said, "Now, economies are not changing as fast as climate," he added. "In December's tsunami in the Indian Ocean, an estimated 250,000 to 300,000 people were killed or were still missing, while millions of lives have been uprooted socially and economically by this impact. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, which publishes a World Disasters Report annually, calculates that from 1994 to 1998, reported disasters averaged 428 per year. From 1999 to 2003, this figure shot up by two-thirds to an average of 707 natural disasters each year. The biggest rise occurred in developing countries, which suffered an increase of 142%. It's not better reporting. It's more actual events transpiring, boys and girls, which is precisely what Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation 6, Deuteronomy 28, and Leviticus 26 told us was going to happen. Now, I'm not a prophet, and I'm just a reporter. I dig out facts, and then I deliver those facts to people like you. I'm not beating the gong, and I am not an evangelist trying to get you to repent and to change your lifestyle and to quit smoking. I don't care if you smoke or not. I don't care if you die from lung cancer. I don't give a rat's rectum if you get killed in an earthquake. I don't know you from Adam. I'm a crummy reporter. I just take information and deliver the information to people like you, Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, with an intent. I think that you should be informed as to what's going on around you so that you have an even chance of taking some kind of evasive action. For instance, I knew 25 years ago, it was about 1986, 20 years ago, that New Orleans, this is the first time it ever came to my attention, New Orleans was below sea level. I didn't know that. I went down to New Orleans at a World's Fair down there. I think it was in 85, 86, 87, something like that. And I went down there and I met some people and they said, New Orleans is 5 to 20 feet below sea level. I said, wow, that's amazing. And the guy pointed out these dikes and levees all around, and I'd been driving around town with him, and I saw these dikes and levees, and he said, that's what keeps the flooding out. And then he showed me where these canals were, and he said, we got these pumps pumping the water out. When it rains here, we pump out every drop of water that rains on New Orleans. It has to go through those pumps. We're below sea level, son. And he said, we expect someday that there's going to be a hurricane, and a hurricane is going to hit Lake Pontchartrain. It's going to breach the levees and flood the city and kill 50,000 people. I said, wow. I didn't know that. Right away, when I finished that conversation, I decided that I would not buy any real estate in New Orleans. If I had any real estate in New Orleans, I would have sold it and left. That's just the way I am. Now, I try to avoid the catastrophe or the problem so that it doesn't happen to me. I live in Tornado Alley. That's what they call this region here. We have tornadoes. Listen, tornadoes kill about 60 or 80 Americans every year. I think one year back in the 1920s killed 700. Chicken feed. It isn't even worth... We're even worth noting, as I mentioned to you last time, it's like a flea crawling up an elephant's leg with rape on his mind. It doesn't even register on the radar screen. But in spite of the fact that tornadoes don't even register on the radar screen, I've got a tornado shelter. I've got two of them. Just in case. You don't need a tornado shelter in Sacramento, California. But if you're going to live in California, maybe you ought to have your house built to earthquake standards that are going to withstand an earthquake. And if you're going to live in Miami, Florida, maybe you should have your house built to standards that would withstand a 150-mile-an-hour wind, such as Hurricane Andrew or Hurricane Wilma or Hurricane Katrina or something on that order. And if you're living close to the beach, maybe you should think about moving your house away from the beach so that those tidal surges called tsunamis, I think that a hurricane produces a tidal surge of 30 feet. That's what they had down on the Gulf Coast, 20 to 30 foot tidal waves, tidal surges they call them. In the Indian Ocean, I think it was 20 to 30 feet caused by an earthquake, and they call it a tsunami. So It's still a great big wall of water, a great big wave that comes ashore and drowns everybody and destroys the property. My common sense tells me that building these buildings down here along the Gulf Coast doesn't make real economic and it doesn't make real logical sense. Well, not to this old plumber. Now, the International Federation of the Red Cross says that they have increased over the past 20 years. And they have increased by two-thirds, 67%. So if you think it's just better reporting, these people keep track. These people keep statistics. It's better reporting, all right. Not only is it better reporting, it's an actual two-third increase in the number of these natural disasters that are occurring today over what's occurred in the past. In 2003, there were 700 natural disasters which killed 75,000 people and caused $65 billion worth of damage, according to a 2004 report an international insurance company called Munich Re. Now, the increased frequency and a changing environment are involved. Since 1988, the Center for Research on the Epidemiology of Disasters has kept a worldwide emergency database of disasters called EMDAT, MDAT. This contains essential information about 14,000 disasters in the world dating from 1900 to the present day. And by the way, if you're wondering where this report comes from, it comes from www.irinnews. That's all one word. irinnews.org. And you're looking for disaster reduction and the human cost of disaster. It's an IRIN web special. Okay? Now, did you get that, boys and girls? In 2003, there were 700 natural disasters. Those 700 natural disasters killed 75,000 people, and it caused $65 billion worth of damage. That's according to a report by the Munich Re, an international insurance company. Now, in 1988, the Center for Research on the Epidemiology of Disasters, they keep a worldwide emergency database. They've kept it since 1900. They've got 14,000 disasters recorded. Every time something happens, they record it. Not better reporting, boys and girls. Been going on for 100 years. And in the past 20 years, the numbers of these disasters has gone up by 67%. That's pretty significant. MDAT's data shows that over the past decade, the number of natural and technological disasters has risen sharply. Both hydro, meteorological, and geophysical disasters have become more common, becoming 68% and 62% respectively more frequent over the decade. This reflects longer-term trends. Natural disasters are divided into three specific groups, by the way. They're hydrometeorological, that's called weather-related hurricanes, geophysical, and then biological. So you got earthquakes, you got disease, and you got weather. Earthquake, disease, and weather. Earthquake, disease, and weather. Those three, up 67% in 10 years. Now, weather-related disasters still outnumber geophysical disasters by 9-1 over the past decade, according to the Federation's analysis. While floods are the most reported natural disasters in Africa, Asia, and Europe, storms with high winds are most frequent in the Americas and Oceania. The factors most often blamed for the increase in natural disasters are environmental degradation, climate change, population growth, in particular unplanned urban growth, and the negative results of economic globalization. According to Walker, the world has not yet realized the importance of including disaster reduction strategies in government policy. He told IRIN, adaptation to climate change is crucial. For example, there's been a 20% increase in severe storms recently. Disasters, as a sector, have suffered from being kept in a niche. Disasters have failed development. Disasters are closely linked to poverty. They can wipe out decades of development in a matter of hours, in a manner that rarely happens in richer countries. Well, you can see that. You take an earthquake here in the United States, it very seldom knocks down a lot of buildings. You take an earthquake over there in the Middle East, such as northern Pakistan or Iran, it not only knocks the buildings down, it kills thousands of people, because those people do not build those buildings to the same kind of earthquake standards that we do here in the West. So that being the case, when we have a magnitude 8 earthquake here in the United States, it does not kill as many people as it does over in third world countries like Iran or Pakistan. Now, the United Nations Rapid Environmental Assessment of the impact of the December 2004 tsunami noted, disproportionately many of the victims of this disaster were poor people who depended on ecosystem services and natural resources for their livelihoods. Now, the benefit, I'm just going to add this in, the benefit that we had here on our Gulf Coast is that we had a week to prepare for Hurricane Katrina before it arrived. The people in the Indian Ocean Basin had 30 minutes to prepare, and that's assuming that they had had any warning. That tsunami came with no warning at all. Hurricane Katrina came with a week's warning in advance. Poor people in developing countries are particularly vulnerable to disasters because of where they live. Research shows that they're more likely to occupy dangerous locations, such as floodplains, riverbanks, steep slopes, reclaimed land, and highly populated settlements of flimsy shanty homes. I want to point out here that on the Gulf Coast, we have big corporations building condominiums on the barrier islands. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because it's just a matter of time until a hurricane comes, just, you know, like shaking the dice and throwing them on the table. At some point in time, a hurricane's going to come, and it's going to hit that condominium, that 10 or 15 story steel and concrete high rise that's facing off into the Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico. Real neat location to live. Bad location in the event of a hurricane. And of course, every time we have a hurricane, we have the federal government jump in there with low interest loans to help you people down on the Gulf Coast rebuild. Listen, if you people on the Gulf Coast had to rebuild out of your resources, you would not rebuild there. Because you couldn't afford it. And the only reason that we Americans can afford to rebuild a New Orleans or a Biloxi or a Gulfport is because we're going to tax the citizens of Seattle, Portland, and Sacramento so that your houses and your businesses can be rebuilt right there in the hurricane zone. Nobody, no private enterprise could afford that. Only government can afford that kind of waste and licentiousness. Traditional buildings of mud, brick, and heavy roofing are particularly unsafe when earthquakes strike, the report stated, and a comparison of the impact of natural disasters in industrialized countries compared with developing countries mirror the same vulnerabilities and inequities that are both the result and the cause of unequal global development. For many development strategists, the critics of globalization, the vulnerability of the poor in the face of natural disasters is symptomatic of the poverty cycle that forces poorer communities and nations into a downward spiral of destitution and destruction. Anthony Spelton of the Federation's Disaster Preparedness and Response Department told IRIN, "Only recently have we as a sector better understood the relationship between disasters and the erosion of development gains." Figures compiled by the World Bank show that between 1990 and 2000, natural disasters resulted in damages constituting between 2% and 15% of an affected country's annual GDP. Now, $500 billion in this country, let's just run that one, we got an $11 billion economy. So it's going to take about 1/22nd, or about 5%, say around 4% of our GDP, just got wiped out by Hurricane Katrina. It'll actually be double that when it's all said and done. You can count on that. When government tells you something, it's always a lie. Well, not always a lie, but it's, you know, 75% of it's a lie. And when they give you an estimate, you know, it's going to be double that. Sometimes triple or quadruple, but at least double. Now, Europe is not immune to the high economic costs of disasters either. The cost of environmental disasters in Europe is currently $11.4 billion a year and rising, according to the European Environment Agency's 2003 assessment. The Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Society said in the organization's 2002 disaster report that disasters are first and foremost a major threat to development and specifically to the development of the poorest and most marginalized people in the world. It ensures that they will stay poor. Now, for many development strategists and critics of globalization, the vulnerability of the poor in the face of natural disasters is symptomatic of the poverty cycle that forces poorer communities and nations into a downward spiral of destitution. Their plight is compounded by their inability to mitigate the impacts of the disasters that they suffer. Commenting on how ill-equipped poor countries are to recover from disasters, Anthony Spelton of the Federation's Disaster Preparedness and Response Department told IRIN, "Only recently have we as a sector better understood the relationship between disasters and the erosion of development gains. And there is an unequal burden of financial costs." We'll talk about that when we come back, right after this reminder. Now, you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Just go to our webpage. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. Remember, it's free of charge. Just call direct 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Okay, we're talking about earthquakes in particular, disasters in general. Disasters are up by 67% over the past decade. Over the past 100 years, looking back at 14,000 disasters caused by one of three events. It's either weather-related, or it's geologically related, that's an earthquake, or it's a bug, it's a pandemic like the 1918 Spanish flu killed 50 to 100 million people. Worldwide, of course, and we're talking about worldwide disasters. And then we're trying to figure out, where do we Americans, Britons, Australians, Canadians, New Zealanders, where do we fit in to the overall panoply of worldwide disasters? Is this going to happen to us here? Now, you Canadians are sitting up there saying, well, we're not affected by hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes. And very seldom do you hear of, you know, Toronto leveled by earthquake, or Montreal has Category 5 hurricane strike, thousands homeless. We don't hear about that in Australia or New Zealand or Great Britain. In fact, until Hurricane Katrina or Andrew a little bit earlier, these hurricanes, especially the Category 5 hurricanes, have been very rare. But they're more frequent now. They're not only more frequent, but they are more severe. So we're getting more hurricanes and more Category 4 and 5s than we have over the past 100 years. Now, that being the case, is that going to be true in the future, the next 20 years? The answer to that is, yep, that's what Bible prophecy tells us. And you ought to be attuned to Bible prophecy, pay attention to what God told you, because people in general believe that natural disasters occur by happenstance. It's time and chance. Solomon made that observation. Time and chance happens to us all. And that's true. You could just be the unlucky guy driving down the road with a drunk driver coming the opposite direction who falls asleep, crosses the center line, and hit you head on and killed you. That happens. Time and chance. But there's another side to that time and chance. Those that live under the law, those that practice the law of God, God himself says that isn't going to happen to you. You're going to live 25,550 days, 70 years. All of your days will be fulfilled. Now, if you're practicing the law of God and all of your days are fulfilled, you cannot be killed in an automobile accident. And there's an important reason for that. It's against the law for you to die until you're 70 years old. Now, a lot of people die in the world. My wife and I oftentimes go into cemeteries and we take a look at the names. We're looking at the ethnic origins of people. We want to know if the Scots settled here, or the Irish, or Italians, or Indians, and some other group. I happened to be up in Washington State, out on the point there. They call that the Straits of Juan de Fuca. And out there on the point, there is an Indian tribe out there, and there was an Indian cemetery that we happened to be driving down the road, and I saw the cemetery, so I stopped and looked in the cemetery. And we went in there, and sure enough, it was an Indian cemetery. And not an exceptionally large one, per se, but there was probably 500, 600, 700 graves in there. Probably covered 2 or 3 acres, that would be my guess, but, you know, pretty good size cemetery, 2 or 3 acres, a big, pretty good size. And we probably looked at 100 to 150 grave markers. And out of the 150 grave markers, there was one grave marker where the man was 70 years old or more when he died. I believe he was 71 when he died. Now, what does that tell you? Well, it tells me that these Indians live a lifestyle that adds to or contributes to their shortened longevity. Now, I know a lot of you people would say, well, that's a racist statement if I ever heard it. Well, maybe it is. But it doesn't lengthen the lifespan of any of those people that are dead and buried in that graveyard. And it's an Indian graveyard, and they're all Indians, and I can't help but make the comparison. Now you can come out here to Isabella, Missouri. We got a cemetery over here in downtown, beautiful, bustling downtown Isabella. There's another one over in Theodosia. As you drive around in the local area here and you take a look in a cemetery, you will find that the preponderance of the people who are in there live to be 70 years old or older, most. When you find a grave where somebody died at age 30, 35, 40, or 50, it's probably because they died from an accident. Now, when you go up into Colorado, up into the mountains, we happened to be up there in the Colorado some years back, and we went out to Cripple Creek, Colorado. And there were some cemeteries out there, and there's a lot of mining went on out there, and we were absolutely amazed at how many men died in their 20s and 30s. I mean, it is common. Graves and graves and graves, you know, 25, 30, 35, 40-year-old men died probably from mine accidents, more than likely. Now, of course, today, OSHA and the EPA and various other government agencies, you know, are working mightily to protect people so that they don't die from accidents. And so here, at least in the Western world, you know, we've got that benefit. I imagine over in Bangladesh, where they still use child labor, that it's probably pretty prevalent. Now, here's what I'm pointing out. Those people in northern Pakistan are primarily Muslims. And I'm sure that those people go to church regularly. And I'm sure that those people believe in God. I mean, they're not atheists and agnostics. They're not evolutionists. They believe in Allah, their God. They go to church on Friday. They believe they're keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. And my question is, why does their God allow them to die in such prolific numbers? Why does he allow those people to live in such abject poverty that we're reading about here? Why are so many of these natural disasters, earthquakes and droughts, famines, floods, why are they occurring to these people? Anybody ever wonder about that? Because they're not occurring to us Christians over here in the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Now they're beginning to. And that's the point I want to make. This Hurricane Katrina has the God of Abraham's fingerprints all over it. I pointed that out to you a couple of weeks back. I did a series on this Hurricane Katrina and hurricanes in general. I said, hey, that's a little bit more than time and chance. And he says that he's going to get worse, or that he's going to do more to us. And I've been watching around the world, and I pay attention to what's going on here. And I say to myself, you know, much of what goes on is the wrath of God. It is a punishment that comes from God. And in the Bible, many, many times, he has killed people by the tens of thousands through plagues. For instance, in, I think it's 2 Samuel, about chapter 22. In fact, I guess while I'm at it, I ought to just whip out the book here. See if I can find it. 2 Samuel. I believe it is chapter 22, or maybe it's 2 Chronicles chapter 22. I'll look at both. A king by the name of David, and he wanted to know how many soldiers he had in the army. So he went out and counted all the people, took a census. Now, I don't think that the average American or Briton or Canadian thinks very much of a census. I mean, it's pretty common in our society to take census. In fact, here in America, it's provided for in our federal constitution that every 10 years they're going to take a census. And let's see if I'm right here. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Is that it? Nope, that's not it. How about 24? Let's see here. Made a pestilence. Yep, it's here it is. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And it says, again, the anger of the Eternal was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Took a census. So David goes out and he takes this census. Once you read the story yourself, write it down. It's 2 Samuel chapter 24. I want to show you about this God here, at least the God of Abraham. Now, I can't speak about the God of Buddha and the God of Allah and these other gods and Zeus and Bibel, you know, and so on. I can't speak to all those gods out there, but this God that's mentioned here in the Bible, I can speak to this because I've read a little about it. And you can too. 2 Samuel chapter 24. David goes out and he numbers the people. He takes a census, just like we do here in the United States every 10 years. And God came up to him one day and he says, you know, I'm a little bummed out about this. This seemingly innocuous census that you just took, I am bummed out and I am going to plague the nation of Israel. Now, you'd think that if God was going to plague somebody, he would plague David who took the census, wouldn't you? No, sir. He plagued Israel with a disease, a plague that killed 70,000 people. He killed as many people in this little country called Israel in ancient times in the Bible. This is about 1,000 B.C. now. About, you know, 3,000 years ago. He killed 70,000 people in that country. That's as many people as just died in that earthquake up in Pakistan. And this isn't time and chance. This is with specificity. So what I'm pointing out to you is that this is just one example. I could point out 10, 15, 20 of these examples in the Bible where this God, not Allah, not Buddha, not Zeus or somebody else. I mean, this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, the God of you Christians? You call him Jesus? Taint his name, but, you know, just so we have continuity here, we'll call him Jesus. That guy killed 70,000 people over one crummy census. Can you imagine what he might do if he caught somebody out here committing buggery? I love those Englishmen. See, we call that sodomy over here. They call it buggery over in England. Those buggers. Over here, a bugger is a nose. You know, it's a hard piece of something you get out of your nose. We call them boogers or buggers. In England, they use that term bugger. Now, I want to bring that to your attention because did it ever occur to anybody that the 70,000 people killed up there in the Himalayas in Pakistan were killed by the God of Abraham? Did it ever occur to you that the 1,000 people down there in the Gulf Coast were just killed by the God of Abraham? I'm sure you people were down there praying mightily. I don't think anybody was praying up there in Pakistan, please don't bring us an earthquake. But I'll bet you right after that earthquake, they were all praying, don't let it happen to my wife. Don't let my child die in that school. And I don't think that God was listening. Now, I want to bring that to your attention because these earthquakes, remember, are getting more and more common. Can we expect more and more earthquakes here in the United States, more and more often, more and more severe? And I'm here to tell you, yep. If this guy means what he says, I mean, unless he's lying to us, this God over here, he says that he's not lying to you. He says he's telling you the straight skinny. Now, let's shift over here a minute to earthquakes. So I got a list of earthquakes. Now, you can get the same list. This is a little tougher one. It's called the List of Earthquakes. And I don't know who this outfit is. The contents are the U.S. Geodetic Survey List of Significant Earthquakes, other earthquakes not listed by the USGS, 3 recent earthquakes not listed above, 4 largest earthquakes by magnitude, the 5 deadliest earthquakes on record, 6 related articles, and 7 external links. That's the contents of this article. Now, you can get this from, let's see if I can, it says http://en.wikipedia. That's just one word. Let me spell it for you again. It's wikipedia.org. And then look for the list of earthquakes. And is it printable? Yes. And it is a 15-page document. So I went through the 15-page document. Now, let me describe it here for a minute. On January the 23rd, pretty specific date, January 23rd, 1556. That's a long time ago. 1556. That was just about 65 years after Columbus discovered America. 1556. In China, a magnitude 8 earthquake killed 830,000 people. Magnitude 8 on the Richter scale. Then on August the 17th, 1668, pretty specific dates. So when I hear people tell me, well, back in the olden days, they couldn't report on these events because they had bad reporting. It doesn't sound like bad reporting to me. It sounds like that on August the 17th, that's a pretty specific date, in 1668, in Anatolia, Turkey, a magnitude 8 earthquake killed 8,000 people. And then on November the 1st, 1755, at 10:16, that's the time, 10:16, it doesn't say a.m. or p.m., but in Lisbon, Portugal, they had an earthquake and a tsunami that killed 70,000 people. It was an 8.7 on the Richter scale. Now, you're saying, well, how do you know it was 8.7? Richter hadn't even developed the scale yet. Well, what they do, they go over there and they dig up the ruins, and then they take measurements off of the ruins, and they say, wow, look at the damage done here to this hillside. Hey, look at the damage done over here or there. And we don't know how accurate they are, but even if it wasn't a magnitude 8, maybe it was greater than that. Maybe it was a 9. Maybe it was a 7 or a 6. What the hell difference does it make? Killed 70,000 people. All right, now let's go on down the list over here. I went through the list. There's 160 earthquakes in the list. 9 of these earthquakes are magnitude 9. And here's the dates. Here's the times. Northern California to Vancouver Island on January 26, 1700. The Andronoff Islands of Alaska on March 9, 1957. Down in Chile on May 22, 1960. Prince William Sound, Alaska, March 28, 1964. And in Indonesia on December the 26th, 2004. Over 450 years, there have been five magnitude 9 earthquakes. Five. And 80% of them occurred in the last 60 years. What do you think of that? Well, you know, you could sit there and say, well, that's just circumstances. It's just caprice. Well, okay. Let's give you caprice on that one. Now let's take a look at the magnitude 8 earthquakes. Over the past 450 years, there have been 31 of those documented. I'm not going to go through the dates. They've got the dates and the times that they occurred and the magnitudes. But 7 in the past 350 years, from 1756 to 1900, there were 7 magnitude 8. Now that's 8 plus. Okay? Now I'm not counting the 9s. I left the 9s out. Because I already counted those. I'm just going with the magnitude 8s. 31 over 450 years. 7 occurred over the first 350 years from 1756 to 1900. 24 occurred in the past 105 years of the 20th century. 77% occurred in the past 100 years. Did you catch that? So 77% of the magnitude 8 earthquakes occurred in the past 100 years. Now doesn't that tell you that the magnitude 8 earthquakes, almost 80, not quite, but almost 80, occurred over the last century? Does that tell you that they're becoming more frequent in more recent decades or more recent centuries than they were 100 years ago? Now, of course, you can say they're more, or 400 years ago. You can say, well, better reporting. No, I reject that. I'll say this, it's easier today to identify these earthquakes by getting this information off of the web than it was 100 years ago or 200 or 300 years ago. But boys and girls, when an earthquake occurs on January 23rd, 1556 in Seik, China and kills 830,000 people, that's pretty good reporting. That's not bad reporting. Now you're going to sit there and say, well, they didn't report all of the earthquakes. See, there were a lot of other earthquakes. How do you know that? How many earthquakes were there between 1556 and 1900? See, all we know is what's reported. And for you to say, well, they didn't report them all, is assuming facts not in evidence. We don't know that. I don't know that. In fact, that's trying to prove a negative. How do you know they didn't report them? We know the earthquakes that were reported, and we know where they occurred, we know the dates, and we know the magnitudes of them. We can go there and take a look at them. Now let's take a look at magnitude 7. There are 62 magnitude 7 plus earthquakes over the past 50 years. There were 9 from 1756 to 1900. There were 53 from 1900 to 2005. There have been 27 since 1955. That's magnitude 7 on the Richter scale. 26 from 1900 to 1955. 27 from 1955 to the present. Over the first 350 years, there were 36 7-plus earthquakes. Over 50 years, there are 26 7-plus earthquakes. 72% of the magnitude 7 earthquakes have occurred over the past 50 years. 72%. Hey, that's pushing up toward 80. Now let's take a look at magnitude 6. Magnitude 6 earthquakes over 450 years totaled 62. In 350 years, that's the first 350 years, there were 14. Over the past 105 years, there were 46. There were 32 over the past 50 years. 53% of the 6-plus earthquakes have occurred over the past 50 years. Now, boys and girls, that's pretty significant. Especially in light of the fact that the Messiah said in Matthew 24 that one of the signs that would be prevalent just before the second coming, just before the end of the age, just before the end of the world, just before the battle of Armageddon, when 200 million soldiers are going to gather on a battleground 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem in the little country of Israel and fight a big battle where the blood is going to reach to the bridles of the horses, he said, are going to occur. These earthquakes are going to occur just before those events transpire. So looking back over the last 450 years, boys and girls, I have 160 earthquakes. I can identify the earthquakes by magnitude 6, 7, 8, or 9. Now the magnitude 9 earthquakes are rare. There's only been 5 in 450 years. And 80% of the magnitude 9s have occurred over the last 50 years, from 1957 to the present. Of the magnitude 8 earthquakes, 77% have occurred over the past 100 years. Of the magnitude 7 earthquakes, 72% have occurred over the past 50 years. And of the magnitude 6s, 53% have occurred over the past 50 years. So what we're looking at here is 80% of the earthquakes that are being recorded over the past 450 years have occurred in the last 50 to 100 years. And those earthquakes are getting stronger and stronger and more frequent. Now this report is called http://en.wikipedia.org. I'm not computer literate and I don't get these numbers and these facts and figures. I go to our computer man Dirk over here and I say, hey Dirk, get this information for me and let's get these numbers and let's check it out and let's see. Is it better reporting or is there in fact a change going on right here on planet Earth? Natural disasters, boys and girls, are occurring 2/3 more often, 67% more out of the last 100 years. 14,000 natural disasters have been recorded. Of those that are recorded, 2/3 of them, 2/3, the increase is 2/3, have occurred in the last 20 years. And this Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita are not abnormalities. Neither is that tsunami in the Indian Ocean. There will be more. And they're going to affect you where you live. Hey, we're about out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll take it up right here talking about natural disasters and how that's going to impact upon you and me and the entire world in the recent or in the near future. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law School is, The Law Hour, rather, I should say, is heard here in the United States 7 days a week worldwide over the Internet, 7 days a week. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and until then, good night, friends.